that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel.
That old wheel.
Gonna roll around once more when it does.
And when it does.
It will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. 'Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And it has. And we welcome you. We say good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers this 22nd day of June 2013, Saturday morning. We're coming to you live from the Radio Ranch. Got our Bibles here, got our coffee poured, and we say good morning. Good morning, Kyle.
Good morning.
And good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And I guess we better say good morning to John, too. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
Save the best for last. How about that? And we say good morning to you, Remnant, for joining us here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network, broadcasting the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world on internet, shortwave, and audio satellite, and archived at the websites, scripturesforamerica.org. And the network website and the schedule can be found at the network website, sfawbn.com. And so we're going to open up the phone lines this morning, and we'll say welcome back. We're back from Branson, and back in the saddle, so to speak, and but we're going to open up with prayer first. And Kyle, would you do that? Open us up with prayer?
Sure. Oh God, my Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to gather in your name, the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. We ask you to watch over us, guide and protect us, all of your remnant out there that we know that you kept for yourself. We ask for a blessing to come upon us, and we thank you for the blessings that you've given us. And Lord, with that blessing that we do receive, and we ask for a greater measure of now, the Holy Spirit, we ask that it will make us be a blessing back to you, that we can walk in the light, in the day, in the Spirit, and not in the darkness, not in the world. We ask for you to help us, Lord. Help us separate ourselves from the ways of the world, the things of the world. We ask for you to help give us a new mind, the mind of Christ, Lord. Help get that old mind out of us. We ask for you to be with all those, Lord, that, like I said, you've kept. And again, watch over them, guide and direct them, keep them, and just give an extra protection in this world today. We ask this in the blessed holy name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, we are back. We had a great Branson gathering and had a good Holy Spirit-inspired time there, I think. And when we talked with the people, they sure seemed to have their batteries recharged and all thanked the ministry and thanked us all for coming out and holding it. We met at a new place this year, and it was, I would just say, overall a good time. Wouldn't you say, Kyle?
I would say so, yeah.
So then after Branson, we did get to hang around for a couple days, take a little mini vacation, and I got to kind of, you know, the Wranglers got to kind of rest and relax and catch their breath a little bit, so that was kind
of
nice.
But it wasn't. Jason insisted on going back to work.
Oh, yeah. Yep, had to do that. But it wasn't quite like First Lady Michelle Obama's vacation in Ireland, where she got to go, you know, dine with Bono and all that good stuff, because her vacation...
Sonny Bono? I thought he was dead.
No, it was a different Bono. A bonehead Bono, I guess. But the place she stayed at in Dublin was only $3,300 a night per room, and they only needed all 30 rooms. And so, you know, her two-day trip to Ireland and Northern Ireland only cost an estimated $5 million to the U.S. taxpayers.
Wow.
I'd rather go on our vacation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially if she was there.
Yeah, no doubt. But it's just one more of the, I think, when we see, like the Pharisees and Sadducees that put these laws and these burdens on the people, or they did in the old days, but they didn't lift a finger to carry them. And it's just like this. You hear about sharing the wealth and all that from this administration that we have. And yet you have this administration, they just flaunt it. You know, they deserve a two-day, $5 million vacation. You know, when you have Air Force 3 flies their stupid dog, stuff like that over there. But here we have, you know, homeless in the street. Children are hungry here in the United States.
Welcome to Babylon.
Yeah. Anyway.
Did you see that story about the IRS?
No, John. Tell us about it.
Let me find it here.
I know
basically, the IRS sent billions of dollars, $46 million in tax refunds to 23,994 unauthorized aliens. And that was all at one address in Atlanta. The total was over $2 billion sent to illegal aliens in different addresses with thousands at each address. And this has been going on for 14 years.
And there's a problem with that?
It is comical, isn't it?
Yeah,
it really makes you, you know, wonder... You know, how much time, I mean, how many times does that happen and then we don't know about it? We hear about it once or twice here or there, but, you know, talk about being robbed and plundered.
Yeah, you know, with money that we're borrowing from China.
Exactly. You know, and how it's just, and we're having to pay the bill and our children and our grandchildren, you know, and it's just, you know, they incur that debt upon us and it's stuff that we didn't ask for.
Yep.
I mean, you think about it that way, it really can make you irritated.
Yes, it can.
Yeah. And for 14 years, it ain't just the Obama administration, so get that through your head, Remnant. Yeah. the whole federal government's nothing but evil, devil city. It's the reason they call it D.C.
It is. It really is.
And Lord willing, this D.C. street sorcery will be out here shortly. We did have a preview of that at Branson. It was extremely, extremely interesting. Got to admit, a little over my head, but I think if you had the DVD and you could watch it and play it back, you would sure get a better understanding the more times you watch it.
Yeah, because, I mean, you take that documentary, and it's so much more complex than even the first one. And the first one, I mean, I talked to people that watched it, you know, 10 times over and over and over, you know, and said that they were getting more out of it every time. And this one is a little more complex than the last one, but we did try to make it a lot easier to understand with using a different graphic approach to it. So, you know, there's people that, you know, understand what's going on, and then there's people that don't see the point on it. And the thing that people need to realize is, you know, where there's a design, there is a designer. And you look at the last 240 years over Washington, D.C., and see what has been done. It's obvious that designer is Satan. And, you know, this has been a weapon of warfare that has never had any opposition, and it's been being used against us. You know, and an enemy with no opposition is just going to continue to advance and advance. You know, and now that we're exposing some of the things that they're doing, you know, we have the ability to target them in prayer and to bring some of these things to a halt, because we're going to give it some godly opposition.
Yeah, we already have through all the rifle and pistol prayers. You know, that's made a huge difference, I think.
Yep, it has.
I think it's largely responsible for, it's us crying out to God, but for the confusion in Babylon right now. Excuse me.
Yeah, well, and you look at the number of those monuments and stuff that have been damaged or crumbled, and, you know, it's pretty obvious. I think the Lord gives us one of those every once in a while to just give us a glimpse and let you know that you're right on target, that, you know, that he's pleased.
Amen.
Jason, do we know when we might have that? I know that was more of a rough cut that we saw in Branson.
It'll be a couple more weeks.
Okay, great. Great. We did advertise in this last Dragon Slayer newsletter, Volume 6, entitled Judgment. We did advertise in there the, I think we ended up, let me take a look real quick just to get the right number here. We ended up with 9 DVDs, and we'll have 9 CDs off that as well.
I said 7.
From Branson. Well,
7 messages.
We had 7 messages brought, remember? You brought one of those. And anyway, and but we also had, you know, John did a good kind of a welcome, not really a full message, but a welcome and an introductory and
hey, it was a full message for me.
Full message, yeah. and so we included that as well. And then we have the 2-hour Saturday night Singspiration and that type thing. So we do have a total of 9 DVDs, 9 or so CDs that we have available. We've advertised them in this brand new Dragon Slayer Volume 6 that is
hot on the presses.
Being printed right now. Kyle brought some up this morning to the Radio Ranch, and I think it looks great. It's got a good little Branson review in it for you folks if you want to know how things went there. And 3 very, very timely, very pertinent, and very different articles in here. And so I think that it will be a blessing to the remnant. It'll be a tool that the remnant can use in more ways than one. And I guarantee you that this newsletter has got more scripture verses in it than probably a year's worth of just about any other newsletter you would get, because that's the way the pastor, that's the way he did it when he put it out. If he put thoughts out, if he was led, guided, directed in a direction,
back it up with scripture.
Back it up, yeah.
Well, that's
to
the way he did everything,
right?
You know,
yep.
I mean,
amen.
Always hear the comments on how all of his sermons and everything that he brought was so scriptural based, you know, mm-hmm. where other guys will, they'll throw maybe a verse or two in here or there, and then they'll give their own philosophy on it, you know,
right.
or theology, and, you know, and they just go off on something that's not even biblical, you know, where the pastor always tried to prove, and that's what the Word of God tells you, to prove all things.
It does.
You know?
It does. And, you know, when you read these articles, when you listen to the sermons, when you listen to us and you hear something from us from the Scriptures, you don't have to believe us. Your job, your duty, your responsibility is if you hear it, go to the Word and see if that's what the Word says. You know, be like, who was it, the Church of Thyatira that looked into a matter, that compared what they heard, what they saw to the Scriptures.
Well, those are Thessalonica, yeah.
Thessalonica, yeah. Not Thyatira. That was a different church.
That was a different church.
Different church. So, it's still early this morning. Well, this is Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. And
I was just going to say, sure. Everybody leaves Branson. I'm sure the four of us, for instance, we all leave Branson with probably a little different idea of what we got out of it. You know, somewhat the same, but different, because we all talked to different people while we're there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I always, every year is a little bit different. Of course, the one a couple years ago I tried to block out of my mind because it was way different. But this one, I really left there, met some new people. Met some new people that weren't really new that I just never met before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or maybe they didn't meet them and their wives before, even though I might have seen their wives, didn't really meet them.
Right.
You know, and just some of the things that were, you know, that I got to visit, some of the people I got to visit with and some of the things that were said, and it just, on a whole, it was a great, great spirit this year.
I thought so.
And like I said, some of the new people that this is their first time, and there was one couple there I know that, you know, and I can relate to them so well. They were scared. You know, they'd never been to a meeting of people that had bad things said about them like you know, like this ministry has, and the whole Israel Truth people get, you know, but they were scared to find what they might find.
Yeah.
You know, but they were so relieved, you know, that it wasn't the bad that they had pictured in their mind, it was the good. You know, it was better than they expected. And that was good to hear. You know, because, you know, I know some in the past, they think maybe all the women are going to walk behind the husbands and not ever speak, you know, and they get there and they realize that, hey, most of these men treat their husbands, most of these men treat their wives the way they're supposed to, or at least the way they would like to see men treat them. And so that's kind of a relief to them.
Mm-hmm.
And not that we don't say it's Christ, the man, the woman, and then the children. We do say that, and we try to say it more often than probably the world wants to hear it, or at least some want to hear it, but it's so important. But Christ is the head of the church, you know, and we're supposed to love our wives the way Christ loves the church. You know, mm-hmm. We're supposed to die for our wives, mm-hmm. you know. And so there was a couple, two or three, I should say, people that one of the things they said was they were surprised at how we communicated with our wives and with our children, and it was, you know, and then I had somebody say to me, you know, you guys should, you know, even though you promoted Branson, you should promote a little bit more on the family. And I kind of agreed with that. I should have hit it more on my show, how, you know, this is a great time to bring your children and let them play together,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I think that, because that is one of the only outlets that our people get to be with one another and have fellowship with one another, and next year, you know, still obviously praying that only those show up that we want to show up, but at the same time, put a little more focus on that. So maybe somebody who's wondering what kind of attitude and what kind of thing it's going to be, they'll realize, hey man, I've got three children, I need to get them out there and let them meet some other godly children. Anyway,
right.
Just a thought.
Right. You know, John does a good. He touches on that in his Branson Review that's in this Volume 6
Maybe
newsletter.
I'll read it while I'm printing it.
He does. There you go. There you go. We put it together quick. We had a good bit of it started anyway before we went to Branson, because we knew that when we got back it was going to be busy. Things
now that's prophetic. When you're starting a Branson review before.
Well, the Branson review he didn't start, but the newsletter in general. Come on, Kyle, keep me straight. Keep me straight over here. But yeah, we did. We had part of it started, so we were able to get it right out. But John does make a good note of that. That is a big part of it is family. And you know, to follow
not
up,
only that though. I think next year we're going to concentrate a little bit more on doing some activities for the children. I had a couple of men say, hey, you know, it'd be nice to have a little bit more activities for the children. We'll sure work on that. But just like Kyle was saying, it's such an opportunity, and it may be many people come up and say, you know, this is the highlight of my year, you know, because it's an opportunity to be with like-minded brethren. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them just don't have that opportunity, and people came from Florida to Alaska and just to spend that weekend with brethren that think the same way. And the other thing is, all these single men and women out there, I mean, if they all came to a gathering like this, I think there'd be a lot less single men and women out there.
Yep.
And as our children grow older, you know, we have a responsibility to find godly mates for them, and what better place than within our own church in the body of Christ.
Amen. Well, guys, let's go to the phone. Phone's ringing this morning. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Hello, can you hear me?
Well, it's a real, real scratchy connection, but I can hear you.
Yeah, I'm out of that. Up. I need to call you. Tell me, and did the CD for the DC Street Symphony?
I don't have a CD, but we will have a DVD for the DC Street Sorcery Part 1.
I got that one.
All right. It's going to be, we said earlier, Jason said it's probably going to be another couple weeks before we get the DVD for the Part 2. But when we do, we'll advertise it in the newsletter, and we'll be all talking about it on the radio.
I sure thank you much, Dad.
All right, thank you, sir. Thanks for calling in, boy. Sometimes we get some of those phone lines that are a little hot. But just to repeat
sounds
what
like
he
we
said,
had a Cajun on the line.
Yeah, there. I did. But
hey, watch out, or you'll end up like Paula Deen.
Yeah.
But we will DC Street Sorcery Part 2. Give us a couple weeks, get it all put together and on a DVD, and we'll sure be advertising it in the newsletter and on the radio programs to let you know that it's there. You know, Kyle, follow-up to you saying about the new families that came. We got an email since we've gotten back from a husband. It was the first time him and his wife went. I don't know if it's one that you talked to or not. But he's been part of the ministry, and his wife's been struggling with it. But he did make a comment, and he said, you know, when they got back, he said his wife was pleasantly pleased and surprised at the gathering, and that she's agreed wholeheartedly to, you know, remove pork from their diet, just wow. As one little thing that was mentioned.
You know, just on that thought alone, just sometimes it's good for other people to visit with other people that are doing taking like pork out of their lives instead of just hearing their husband or whoever just say we got to do this because the Word of God says it. You know, I mean, sometimes it just it really helps somebody if they can just hear another perspective and know that mm-hmm. they're not the only one being told that they have to live a certain way, you know.
So. Right.
Go ahead.
Right. No, that was it. That it was encouraging to me to see that, you know, that you know, just that one just that
it wasn't
one thing.
The best example of good food without pork, that's for sure.
Well, it was food without pork.
Yeah.
So
but you know what? The remnant would show up even if there wasn't any food.
Yeah.
It was spiritual food that we were looking for, not the physical food.
Right, right. Well, guys,
sorry about that.
No, I think that fit right in. It was. Again, it was a new place, and I think most people were well-pleased with the rooms, the conference room, and just overall, it was mild weather for that time of year. We've sort of been in the mid to high 90s and high 90% humidity and rainstorms, and even, you know, we've been on tornado watch there in the Branson area when we've been there. And it was so pleasant. It was in the 70s, and just it was just a pleasant time all around. Well, let's go back to the phone lines. Good morning. Thanks for calling in to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, Richard. I heard you talking about the church proving things through Scripture, and I always thought it was the Bereans. Can you tell me more where I could find about these?
You're right. Yeah, it was the Bereans in Acts.
Oh, well, you guys have the best day ever. It's always a pleasure to hear from you.
That's what's great about this ministry. You know, it's full of people that love the truth.
Right.
And so when they hear something that doesn't quite click right, you know,
right. I thought it was here. Because many times you'll find there's two or three witnesses.
Yeah, and Judeo-Christianity, they don't even care.
Yeah.
You know, they don't have whatever that is that's in our thought process that says, well, wait a minute. You know, I want the truth on this thing.
So, right.
So that was a good point. I don't know exactly what is it, Acts? I don't know, 7.
Yeah, we'll try to look real quick. And Acts 17 maybe, 17:10.
If I had my other Bible here, I'd have it marked.
Yeah, me too, and it's not that I know that, but in the back there's this little thing called a mini concordance in the back of your Bible, and I have learned,
Don't give your secret away.
I confess my sin. Because our pastor, he'd just say, you're absolutely right, and he'd rattle it off because he knew where it was. We're still, I know I am still in process.
The Bereans were more noble-minded than those of Thessalonica because they studied the scripture. I'm not reading this, I'm just kind of paraphrasing
right.
Because I couldn't find it, but because they studied the scriptures daily, you know, and that's what we're to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. It's Acts 17, starting in 10. It says, the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. And in verse 11, now these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. And therefore many of them believed. And it is no different than it is today. I mentioned it Thursday night that we study the scriptures. The Bible says if you ask, it'll be given. If you knock, he will open the door. If you seek, you will find. But there's a way to knock.
What you find.
You might not. But there's a way to knock. There's a way to seek. There's ways to ask. And if you will do those things, you know, the Bible is true. You know, you'll find what you're seeking. Now, like you said, Kyle, you'll find the truth. You may not like it or not. But you will. And if you knock, and how do you knock? Well, you open the Word for one way. You open the Word and you read it. And you see what it says. And if it says, you know, and you're convicted of something that you're doing that's not in line with the Word, well, then you have a choice. You either stay in your, you know, and more than likely it's sin, or you change to adhere to the Word. And if you'll change to adhere to the Word and to follow the Word, then that opens a door. And then there's another door opened. And another door.
There's some people that study the Scriptures to prove what God had already showed them to be a lie. Let's take the pork thing, for instance, or the unclean foods. They'll study the Scriptures to try to prove that the Word of God told a lie in a different part of the Scripture. You know, so they'll come up with Peter's vision of the sheet coming down full of the beasts of the air and the fowls, you know, and Peter saying, you know, I won't eat anything unclean or what, you know, mm-hmm. however it goes, you know. So they'll study the scriptures to prove God wrong in another area. You won't ever learn anything doing that, you know. You need to study the scriptures praying that you'll just be open up to the truth, whatever the truth happens to be, whether, you know, it takes you away from your pepperoni pizza or whatever it does. That's going to hinder you, you know. I mean, that's the breaks of it, you
right.
know. I mean, where it says, you know, the old term ignorance is bliss, and it is bliss, but if, you know, but at the same time, the lack of knowledge will destroy his people.
Yes, and it has been.
Yeah,
and it has been. So, Jason, I'll ask you a question. Have you seen anything of these dust storms that have been going down in the? I think one hit. South Colorado back at the end of May, and they've been kind of there in the Southwest. I didn't know. I know you usually get to see the news. I didn't know if you've seen anything on that.
Not just in Colorado. They've had them a lot of different places. It's just a lot of areas that are just so dry that it's just, there's dry and then there's really, really dry. A lot of these areas are just extremely dry with no precipitation at all. And the winds that they've had just come up and it turns into like a dust bowl, like kind of like what you'd hear about that, happened in the in the 1930s when they were having all those dust storms. That's the only thing I can think of.
Yeah, we've talked in the past about, we've gotten some bulls from a company down in South Colorado in the past. And that man and puts out some Christian stuff. But he had sent a picture because they were in the area that it hit. And this was like the end of May. May 24th is when it hit. And, things were a little hectic right then, packing for Branson and trying to get things ready. And I remember looking at it and thinking, wow, that looks like something you'd see in Saudi Arabia or somewhere, this wall of dust moving. And then when we got back, I pulled an article off just earlier this week that gave a second witness to that. It talked about these people that was down south of Lamar, Colorado, having 60-mile-an-hour winds blowing dust up for 15 hours straight. Here they live in this one family they talked to. Basically, they're farmers, and it just, it ripped their crop and everything up. And said, you couldn't tell, said it sounded like hail hitting the window for 15 hours straight. They slept with the sheets over their head and still woke up in the morning with, it said, up to 3-foot drifts of dirt over everything.
Wow.
I've seen that from the volunteer fire department that I do a little bit with. You see stuff on the internet that from Denver south into the Four Corners region and the whole southwest part of the United States is still in a severe drought.
Yeah, New Mexico.
Arizona and all that down there. And, we've had Betty from New Mexico call and talk about the severe fires they've had down there and their dire need of rain. And, they're saying that the U.S. National Academy of Sciences says that the U.S. Interior West is now the driest that it's been in 500 years. Now, they ain't been around 500 years, so I don't know how they come up with that. But it's dry. It really is. And
it's climate change. Don't you listen to Obama and
no, and Gore, I don't.
You know how dust has to be just on every... we put everything in a trailer to haul it from one part of the country to another.
Mm-hmm.
An enclosed trailer. And when you get there, and you just put your suitcase in there before you left. And you get there, and there's dust all over everything. So can you imagine, inside those homes and inside everywhere down there, the dust that has to be on everything, and that'll ruin so many things.
Electronic equipment and things
that's
like that.
That's mostly just a dirt road down to the ranch.
probably.
And back, yeah. Yeah, truly it is. And we followed Jason's advice as much as we could this year and just blanketed everything once it was in there. That does help a lot. But our people don't realize the hardships that went on here in the Midwest and the Southwest during the 1930s, during those dust storms. Children died from it. They had a term, dust pneumonia, that children had and things like that. And we're seeing it come back again. The Texas, Kansas, Oklahoma area. Some places have had more rain, better than they've had in the past. But many areas are, we see it with hay prices, which are still setting records, from that area, because the few areas that had the rain that grew hay, it's going through the roof, and the other areas are just suffering, because of that. Had a scripture verse in Jeremiah that I thought addressed that, about it drying up, and it's Jeremiah 23:10, and it says, "For the land is full of adulterers, for the land mourns because of the curse. It's the land is one of the things that mourns because of this curse of sin that's upon us. The pastures of the wilderness have dried up. And when I read that, I couldn't help but think, that's just what we've got, these pastures of the wilderness. You know, we've talked to people on the ministry in Nebraska, you know, how they've done that. Nebraska's been in a severe drought. Most of Nebraska has. And, you know, that at one time was the pastures of the wilderness, literally. You know, I know there's a lot of figurative language there, but the whole Southwest and Southern Colorado and Nebraska, that's what they just naturally were just wild grasslands, pastures, literally. And they are dried up and blowing away. And it's because what Jeremiah 23:10 says, the land is full of adulterers, the land mourns because of the curse. Yeah, it matters what you do in the privacy of your own home. When you have sin in the land cries out. The land suffers because of the curse.
Amen.
Yeah, and then it goes on to talk about the prophet and the priest
are polluted.
Yep, they're profane, I think the King James says, and it's so true. Even though it's because my people love to have it so, it's still the cause and effect. You know, it's the people, priests, perversion, and then, you know, and something's going to happen. I mean, when you reap something, you know, or when you sow something, you're going to reap it, and that's what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yep. You said figuratively or whatever you said, it's literal, too. Absolutely, there's no doubt about it that it's literal.
Yeah, as you see more and more of the even so-called Christian organizations and churches turning towards the ways of the world, accepting homosexuality and women in the pulpits. It's just a prophecy being fulfilled.
Yes.
Yeah, that's becoming, you know, like the women in the pulpit, it's just accepted. And the homosexuals in the pulpit, whether it's the you know, Lutheran church or this, whatever it is, they just accept it. And it gets so bad to where when they have openly gays in there, the ones that just have women, they don't think, you know, that just validates them. Oh, well, you know, we don't have homosexuals. You know, we just have women. And
I think
it's an abomination to God.
Chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, I think, where, you know, the basic chapter is talking about speaking in tongues and how without an interpreter, you know, it's out of order.
Mm-hmm.
It's confusion. And it equates a woman speaking in the church. It's talking about the same thing. And it's complete. You know, we get sometimes other people's newsletters here, and they'll have a meeting, and they'll have this woman speaker. I'm telling you right now, and some of these are identity people, so to speak. But I'm telling you right now, if you go to those things, you are sitting in a church that is out of order. You know, I don't care if they're saying everything that's true.
Yeah,
it's out of order. And it's going to be out of order until they get right with God.
Mm-hmm.
And the women need to shut up. I mean, the Word of God doesn't say shut up. It says keep silent. You know, I say shut up. Sit down. Ask your husbands at home if you have a question. Just keep your mouth shut. You know, now, this is probably what maybe somebody would hear and say, well, I don't want to go to their gatherings because they might treat, you know, this has nothing to do with husbands considering their wives or a husband loving their wives like Christ loved the church. This has to do with godly order, you know. And some of these gatherings where they'll have this so-called prophetess speak, you know.
Yeah, a type of Deborah.
Yeah,
that's how they'll describe her. Always, you know, they're not going to describe her as a type of Jezebel.
Of course not. She called herself a prophet.
Right. We have a type of Jezebel that's going to bring a message for you. And no, you don't hear it that way.
Anyway, they're out of order. And if you go there, well,
you're out of order.
Don't go there.
You're going to be out of order.
You'll have a whole lot to repent for.
Right. You're going to be out of order if you do.
Well, just look this week at the Supreme Court ruling. You know, 7-2, they ruled against upholding a law that you actually have to show identification to vote in Arizona. Now, I know we all know it's a scam, but still. But it's because we got women and strangers mm-hmm. ruling over us.
Yep.
hypocritical, really, when you think about it. They talk about in this new what is it, the Immigration Reform Act, biometric ID and all that, but you can't show an ID to vote, and you know, can't require an ID to vote in Arizona.
Right, you have to have an ID to do anything else.
Double think.
Right, and that's what, and it's the double standard.
Well, it boils down to, if you're a white male, you got to show ID for everything. You know,
right.
Anybody else, it don't really matter.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's an absolute truth. You know, we've got a family on the ministry in Illinois that are jumping through hoops, left, right, upside down, doing double gainer backflips through these hoops to try to get, you know, to go along with the state and to get, you know, state IDs and that type of stuff for their children. And every they're hitting a roadblock everywhere they go. Nope. Oh, you got to have three of these instead of one. Nope. You get this now. Oh, we know you gave us this paperwork. We need other paperwork. This and on and on and on. Yet you'll see, and that's in Illinois. You'll see how Illinois Senate passed where they will grant non-U.S. citizens driver's license. They'll give them social security cards. And all that.
And tax refunds, even if you don't pay tax.
And tax refunds that John told us about, you know, just walk up and get them. It literally and really is that simple. You know, and they will accept any type of alternative identification from them, you know, and I've mentioned it before. I've seen it right here in Laramie at the driver's license place. You have to have a birth certificate. You have to have a birth certificate. You know, except for the Mexican in there that doesn't speak English. Where were you born? Denver. Do you have a birth certificate? No. Okay. Here's your license. You know, it is.
Yep.
The alien among us rises higher and higher. We go lower and lower. And it's that, you know, it's that, what's the name of that song? How low can you go, right?
Yeah.
Right? Whatever you call it. How low can you go, Remnant? How low
that
can
would
you
be
go?
The limbo.
How low can you go, Americans, white Americans? Because you're going lower. You think you're low? You ain't low enough yet.
And they're laughing at how dumb we are too.
Yeah.
We sit there and just take it.
Well, it's just because we do. It's because we do. Because we deserve it as a remnant, as a people that have turned from God. We deserve it, you know, and as a people, this nation will continue to go lower and lower, you know, it will until, and for individuals, it's until they repent and change.
Yeah, it's got a lot lower to go, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Going to be some trials and tribulations coming here shortly, more than... than I think we imagine.
Well, we do have the phone lines open. We've still got about almost 20 minutes left in the program. 307-745-5913. If you want to give a call in, if you have a question or a comment, we'll do our best to address it. We're not going to say we're the Bible answer men like those other guys do. But we'll sure do like we looked up the Bereans and... do our best to stay biblical.
You know the Bible answer, man. They have the screeners, you know, answer the phones. I called that guy, I mean, this is years ago, several times, and I could. They never put me through. You know?
Imagine that.
Yeah. I would fall for their trap. I'd tell them what question I was going to ask.
Yeah.
Yeah, yep. Exactly.
And you'd get the little red star by yours.
Probably.
And, yeah. Don't answer this guy. So.
It's funny when you finally do get through, even if you false pretense to get on, they shut you down in a hurry.
Right, they have the whatever 10-second delay or whatever. So they
just, yeah.
Thanks
for calling. See
ya. Yeah. Yep. So. We've got to go to commercial now. So, but.
Interesting. I was looking on the news, and there's this organization called the Exodus Organization, which apparently used to counsel people against homosexuality or something, but the statement is interesting. While this organization believes it has done a great deal of good, the shift in culture requires new tactics and a recognition that some of the old methods used to reach out to gays were both faulty and divisive. the negative impact of Exodus activities on some gays and lesbians. Thomas, the head of the unit, contends simply couldn't be ignored. So there's just another one that used to be against homosexuality, but now that the culture has accepted it, well, we have to change too. Another Church of Laodicea.
Yeah. Yeah, it's peer pressure.
Yeah.
Peer pressure.
Well, you know, it's this month that the so-called Supreme Court's supposed to rule on that gay marriage thing. And
well, there's lots of tests being run right now by God.
Oh, yeah.
And there's lots of people failing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a fact.
Let's see. I wanted to see if something's still here. Yep. Romans 6:23, still there. For the wages of sin is death. Still there. Homosexuality is a sin. Adultery is a sin. We read that in Jeremiah. The land is full of adulterers, and the land cries out because of that curse.
Yeah, I read something the other day. Denver was trying to do away with the
adultery laws
being illegal or something.
Yeah, you know we are. We anyway. Let's go to
Colorado. Actually,
let's go to the phone lines. Good morning. Thanks for calling into Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hey, good morning, Richard. It's Robbie in Texas. How are you guys today?
Hey, good morning, Robbie. We're well, abundantly blessed. I think I could say that for all the men.
Amen. Me too. Hey, I just wanted to call and thank you guys for gathering. It was a great get together. So, I mean, 2 years ago, we met a lot of new people. The teaching was wonderful. It was a talented musical show. Paul did a great job. Thank you guys for all the effort you put into it. Thank you for your daily. I'm looking forward to seeing you again.
Well, thank you, Robbie.
Thanks, Robbie.
Thanks a lot. God bless you.
Bye-bye. Appreciate that. Thank you. And we'll stay with the phone lines. Lines are ringing. Good morning. Thanks for calling in to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning.
You were talking about the immigration thing there, and it made me think of the difference between the alien who is in your in the midst and the avowed, you know, racial genetic enemy of God's people. And I wondered if you could, if you have any comment on that, because it seems to me that there are stories in the Bible where there are instances like, what was his name, the captain of the Arameans, Naaman. The Arameans were Hebrews to an extent, at least back then, as I understand it. But at the same time, there are Canaanites and all those other ites in Psalm 83. So there must be a difference.
Well,
we are.
Yeah, there are. There's, you know, there were aliens, strangers in the land in the days of Moses, and when they were there, they stayed on the outskirts of the camp. And they had to obey all the laws, statutes, and judgments. And right. The Bible talks about not having a different law for the alien or the stranger than for you.
Yes.
Okay? And so, you know, I think, my thoughts anyway, are that, you know, that is for those that are in the land, that are there, but you're not to intermarry with them, you're not to intermingle with them, and they have to follow the same law you do.
Right.
You know? And one of those is if you don't work, you don't eat. And so we certainly don't have that today. I think there's also a different alien that the Bible talks about, creatures of instinct created to be destroyed, that are not going to follow the laws, statutes, and judgments. They're the ones that Christ said, bring those here that will not have me rule over them and slay them at my feet. And that's the words of our Lord and our loving, caring Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so I think that, yeah, you have to look and see that there's at least a couple of different categories of aliens, of strangers.
I think you put it well.
The stranger, that's the word I was thinking of.
Yeah.
The alien as among you shall rise higher and higher, whereas the even the stranger, you know, the not necessarily a racial alien, so to speak.
Right. Well, I think we see it in both ways. You know, the alien rises higher and higher, You know, there are many Latinos, many Mexicans that I think do worship Jesus Christ, but they're still aliens and strangers to us.
I mean, narrow it down. But, if you can narrow it down in your mind to from nation to state to city to your own home, who are you going to allow in your home?
Yeah.
You're going to allow somebody who disobeys and even blasphemes the name of your God? You know, I mean, it's just common sense. You know, I mean, you're not going to let somebody come in and sit at your table. I don't care what color they are.
You shouldn't anyway.
You shouldn't. You're going to blaspheme or disobey your God. I mean, that's really where the rubber hits. And you said it well, Richard. I mean, there's a difference in some of those old stories on the different people that were amongst Israel and how they are, and these aliens that are just, I mean, they are just.
And we have every single kind.
Yeah.
We have those that really should just be in the outskirts of the camp and that, you know, can receive part of the blessings out there. And, you know, we've got them in the midst of us. And we've got also those that hate Jesus Christ, that spit when they hear his name, that detest him. You know, we've got those aliens, those creatures of instinct, right among us as well. Hope that helps.
Yeah, it seems to clear it up quite a bit. Appreciate your comment.
All right, thanks. We'll try to get this one other caller.
Good, thanks.
Okay.
Good. Take care.
And phone is ringing. Good morning. Thanks for calling in to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning. I was wondering if you could comment on the role of local fellowship. I know I've been tithing to your ministry for quite some time, but you're so far away, I can't attend services except for the DVDs. And I've recently been married, and my wife is seeking local fellowship, considers it a high priority. When I go to these local churches, I don't want to be there. There's something wrong in the air. How do you handle that? What should we do? Should we go in as missionaries? I'll hang up and just listen to your advice.
All right. Guys, not sure if both John and Jason could hear that, being on the phone lines as well, but, you know, he's asking about local fellowship. What do you do? He's just married. His wife puts a high emphasis on going to the local church for local fellowship, and, of course, it's not a church as ours. He is a tither, been on the ministry. Thoughts?
I think bad influences corrupt good morals. That's one of the things that the Bible says, and so we know that that's truth. And I think a lot of these churches, you've got a lot of bad influences in them.
Amen.
You got to watch over your wife too. You get them in the wrong midst, and it'll change in a hurry. I mean, we're supposed to be the covering for our wives, so we have to be sure that we don't let that kind of influence affect our wives and our children.
That's one thing I remember Dad telling me was that, you know, when somebody came up to him and told him that he was a preacher, he knew he had to take his right hand and put it on his wife's hand and grab her hand and put his left hand on his wallet and cover his pocketbook because, you know, that pretty much describes what we got for preachers nowadays.
That's true.
Well, it's a tough question because even though everything Jason and John just said is absolutely true, it doesn't give the wife anybody to fellowship with, you know. So you still have that tough call, and everybody does it different. I mean, I've met a lot of people that do it completely different. Some they get completely away from almost every living human being as far as socially, you know. And that's one way to do it. But then I still see them occasionally lose a loved one to the world. I don't know why, you know. You wouldn't think it would happen, but it does. It creeps in somehow. You know, and then then you see the ones that you know go like Jason was just saying, then and good morals or good or bad communications corrupt good morals.
Right,
I mean,
right. They think they're going to be a missionary, like the man mentioned. You know,
Go ahead.
The
thought just occurred to me, as we're promoting these Branson gatherings, you know, to come and encourage one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking the assembly, as you know, as the world does, as we draw near to the end times and end days. But I've seen and there's probably brethren that are listening that could call and say, but when you go to a gathering like that of our people, the remnant, and you meet those other people that are even if they're just in your state, but some are even in your backyard, and you don't even know they're there, and you don't meet them, and we don't give people's information out. I mean, if you want to know about something, we can let somebody know that's close to you that, hey, this person would like, you know, some fellowship. Are you interested? But bottom line is, if you meet in an area like that, maybe we should gather the people in the different states in small groups and let them, you know what I mean, at Branson and get them to...
Yeah, we used to do that at camp gatherings. We'd have everybody gather by state, you know, and have one meal with everybody from your state.
Right, and I think we should do that again. And then, you know if someone has a kindred spirit, you know if you want to fellowship with them. But there are people all across this country that write in and send emails and stuff that say, hey, we get together with five or six local people on Sunday, and we watch live church, or we put in a DVD, but that's our church service, and that's our fellowship, you know. And then we, you know, everybody brings a pie or something, and we have a meal. And
that'd be a lot of pies.
That would be.
Communion, and I think that's the answer. I think the answer is to get to know the brethren that are around you that are like-minded, that are the remnant, and try to, you know, you may have to drive a half hour, an hour, or whatever, but I think that's what's important is we're supposed to...
Well, clear back when we started coming to camps and stuff, you know, we met the family that lived 4.5 hours from us, you know,
right.
which was the Anderson family, and Kenny was a young, well, at least... He thought he was a young preacher. I don't know if he's still doing that or not. But,
I don't know.
You know, we drive 4.5 hours every Sunday, not just to hear Kenny preach, which, you know, which was great or whatever, but it was to have fellowship.
Yeah.
Now, you know, through time, we found out they had different doctrines than we had. You know, we found out they didn't believe in stuff that the Bible clearly teaches, and we found out, you know, that our direction was clearly going different ways, you know. But that's just how starved you get out there for fellowship.
Right.
To where that was, I mean, I'm a driver anyway, but 4.5 hours was nothing. It was just, it was a Sunday,
and,
you know.
And, you know, our pastor taught us that we are separated like that for our protection, for our protection. And so I would say, you know, by all means, protect your wife. Do your best to explain this to her. Pray over her and let her know that it is for her protection that you don't want to go to this Judeo-Christian church that blesses those that hate Jesus Christ, and that it is, you know, for her protection. Then do your best to do your best to gather with the church when they do. You know, like John said, we can work a few things to try to help you find local fellowship. Well, John, do that. Our phones are ringing. We're running out of time. John, we'll have to close with your scripture.
Isaiah 56, 3 through 8, Acres of Diamond Men just texted me this. But anyways, let not the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord say, the Lord will surely separate me from his people, nor let the Enoch say, behold, I am dry tree. For thus says the Lord to the Enochs who keep my Sabbath and who choose what pleases me and hold fast my covenant. To them I will give in my house and within my walls a memorial and a name better than that the sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name.
Amen.
Which will not be cut off.
His blessings are there.
Yeah.
If you'll serve him. Well, folks, we're out of time. Callers, we'll try to say hi to you off the air. We invite you to come to church with us tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. Mountain at scriptures4america.org. Thanks again.
Rolling, 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 stay high. This country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, stake high. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever. Knowing the King is by our side. Those old stakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Roll them out big high.
Ride 'em out, ride 'em more, ride 'em more, ride 'em out, ride 'em out, ride 'em more.
Stay high.
Though they're disapproving, keep on moving over Snake High. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their Snake Hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, Snake High.
Snake-eyed.
Moving, 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 though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, Snake-eyed. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their Snake-eyed. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting at the end of our ride.